Philippians chapter 1 is where we'll read in just a moment, but what do you want to have more of? How about this? Bet you can't eat one. Lay's, I believe. Where's the beef? Yes, we want more, right? You know how often we look at the dessert and the chocolate pie was divided up and you thought to yourself, you know, how can I get that last piece? Sometimes it's hard, right? You want more. Have you ever heard the term, it's moreish? You want more of something. I know of a pastor whose church attendance was more than their auditorium could hold. So they began having two services. And then they decided to enlarge the auditorium size. Now ponder this, think of this. How can you do that without buying more property? So what they decided is they would build a larger auditorium around their smaller auditorium. They went 20 feet out that way. They went 20 feet out that way. They went 20 feet out that way, built the walls, encased it, and then tore down the original auditorium. It was a lot of work, but it worked. They were able to build their new auditorium without a whole lot of inconvenience. And things moved along quite nicely. But scripturally, there are times when more is better. When more is better. Let's begin reading at verse 8 of chapter 1 of the epistle of Paul to the Philippians. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Paul had been arrested and he was in a Roman jail. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to sing the songs that we sang earlier and for the opportunity to bring prayer requests to you. And Lord, we do pray that each request that was mentioned tonight, both spoken and unspoken, will be answered in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. We ask, Lord, now that you would bless this time of speaking. And we ask, Lord, for it to be done in your name. And we ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Number one, more courage. More courage. You know, it's important that as believers that we are willing to do at least something for the cause of Christ. If it's nothing more than leaving a track on a table after you've been served lunch or dinner. You know, letting people know that you attend church and that you would be glad to pray for them when they are going through a difficult time. One of my coworkers, his grandmother in Alabama, has been put in hospice care. And as I was talking to her, she said she was my religious grandma. And, you know, we are able to say to her, we'll remember you in prayer. And, you know, little things can sometimes lead to bigger things later on. More courage. And how important it is, as we see there in verse 14, it says, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. They saw what Paul was going through, and they said, okay, if he can go through that, then I can be a testimony for the Lord. And it continues there by saying, and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And I know sometimes we are hesitant. And I know sometimes in this world of society, which is moving away from spiritual things, we feel uncomfortable to talk. But the fact is, I find that most people don't mind if you talk to them a little bit. Now, we don't want to be pushy, but we do want to show our concern. And number two, to abound more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, to abound more. You know, sometimes we come to church and we almost come as if we're sorry that we have to come. But I think we should realize that it is one of the blessings of the week is to come to church, to be with God's people. You know, I find it interesting when God's people don't want to come to church. I think we should desire to abound in the work of the Lord. In verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. How are we going to abound? We're going to walk in such a way that it pleases the Lord. And that should be our desire to abound. Do you remember when your children began to learn the alphabet? Weren't they excited? Now maybe you had the little magnets that were on the refrigerator, or maybe you did different things, but they got so excited about learning the alphabet, something you take for granted. Maybe they learned that little song about A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and they learned it that way. But as people learn, they grow in confidence. Verse 10. And indeed ye do toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, and we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Can I tell you this, that one of the blessings of having missionaries or someone like the Deckers who work there at Massillon Baptist College stay with you, is you get to talk to them. And while they're here, you know, they give their thoughts and they give different things that are going on in their life. But when they're in your house and they begin to tell you of victories in their lives or defeats in their lives and prayer requests, you realize that you see how they have grown through the years. And listening to Brother Dexter last night down in our basement, it was so encouraging to listen to him and his wife Melody as they talked about where they have been through the years. And you know, as believers, our faith should be growing, increasing. We should abound. And number three, praise. Praise more. The book of Psalms 71. The book of Psalm 71. Someone has said that if the Detroit Lions were to go 10-0, that our city would literally start to come apart with the excitement of the Lions winning 10 games in a row. And what if of the last 7 games, they won 5 of those? So they finished the year 15-2. Do you think there'd be some excitement about the Detroit Lions? Do you think there'd be some excitement as they were going into the playoffs? And let's say that they would win the first 2 playoff games, and boy, they just beat the tar out of those players. And then there's what, a third game before the Super Bowl? Is there 3 games before the Super Bowl? But let's say that they finally make it to the Super Bowl. Do you think there'd be excitement? Do you think that there'd be flags flying? Do you think that the talk radio shows would be all about the Lions? And what if they won? They won the Super Bowl. They took the other team apart. And that they were the champions of the West. Oh, that's the Wolverines, isn't it? The champions of the West. And do you think they would receive a lot of praise? Do you realize as great as that is? that when someone comes to know Christ as their Savior, it's of more importance. As much as we would like to see the Lions finally do something really exciting, the fact is when someone comes to know the Lord as their Savior, there is even joy in heaven. There is excitement there that someone has turned to the Lord. But notice what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 71 and verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Can I say this to you without any feeling of contradiction? No matter if things are going good or things are going bad, we still need to praise the Lord. This coming week, Pastor Stephen is going to be changing the banners in the main auditorium. And on the one side, it will say, God is good all the time. And on the other side, it will say, all the time, God is good, because God is good. And we should remember to praise him. And he should be someone that we go to on a regular basis, thanking him and praising his holy name. Number four, we ought to produce more fruit. John chapter 15, a familiar portion of scripture. You've read it many times, and we'll begin reading at verse 1 in just a moment. But to produce more fruit. If you have a vegetable garden, you don't grow the plants just because they look nice, do you? You do not grow the plants so that they grow up big and they tempt the rabbits. What do you grow those plants for? For fruit. For green beans or tomatoes or whatever it may be. You are wanting to produce something. Let's begin reading at verse 1. Jesus is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it what? May bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. See, we need more courage. We need to abound more. We need to praise more, and we need to produce more fruit. May I say this? I believe as we produce fruit, it will bring praise. And as the praise continues, it will make us desire to abound, and it will encourage us to continue. And so it's important that we produce fruit. Because with fruit, we see victory, we see excitement, we see a desire to continue. If you would, the book of Mark chapter 12, Mark chapter 12, give more. Give more. I understand that some people give, well, as one pastor says, they tip God. But then there are those who give sacrificially. And the desire is that we should give more. As I said this morning, you cannot outgive God. Beginning at verse 41, Mark 12, 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Now stop reading right there. You get the idea. Jesus is standing there. Is he leaning against the wall? Watching as the people gave. Now, we have a box now in which we put money. They apparently had a hole that was kind of made with kind of a metal so that when you threw the coins in, it would rattle. And the bigger the coins, the more noise it made, correct? The smaller the coins, the less it makes. Now, in our world today, we have paper money, right? So it doesn't make a whole lot of noise, but that's okay. But the fact is this, what if Jesus Christ was leaning against the wall upstairs in the main auditorium watching how people gave? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Now, Brother Watke, as far as I know, nobody's really watching anybody give. We're just wanting to make sure nobody takes it out. Right? So the thing is, what if? Number of years ago, we had someone forget their Bible here at the church. And so I was looking through it to see if I could figure out who it was. And they had been to another church. And in the Bible was a couple of lists of what everybody gave the week before. Wow, I looked at that and I thought to myself, could we ever do that? List what everybody gave? And I thought, no, we're not going to do that. But you know, the fact is, Jesus was over against the wall and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Notice the word cast. Cast it in. And many that were rich cast in what? Much. They cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow. Can you see it in your mind's eye? Here comes a woman that doesn't have much. Everybody knows she's poor. Everybody knows she is struggling. And she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples. Now, in your mind, see what's happening here. People are putting their money into the offering area. And this woman walks up and puts in a little bit, two mites. And when that happens, Jesus calls them over. He calls them over. And saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow, which cast or hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. You know that verse we read this morning that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church? That God loves what? A cheerful giver. All they which have cast into the treasury. The rich had come and cast in much, but she had given more. For, it says in verse 44, all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. What an amazing thought. Giving more sometimes seems like it's impossible. And yet that is exactly what the Lord saw this poor widow do. Number six, bless more. Number five and six kind of go together. Acts chapter 30, we made mention of it in this morning's sermon. And if your Bible has a red letter edition, this part of verse 35 is in red. Paul talking says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give to receive. More blessed. You want to be blessed? Be willing to give. It simply goes hand in hand. God is watching. See, we want to have more courage and we want to abound more and we want to praise more. And we want to produce more fruit. We want to give more and we want to bless more. And how important it is that we are willing to do this. You know, how long is life? How long is life? My dad lived 91 and a half years, right to the day, 91 and a half years. And some would say that's a long time, but is it really a long time in the course of history? We find that things happened 800 years ago. Now you think, 800 years ago? That was a long time, wasn't it? But in the eyes of God, that isn't very long at all. But we should have a desire to bless and to be a blessing, praying for one another. You know, I encourage you regularly, pray for someone. There's someone in the church you can pray for, folks. If you can't find anyone to pray for me. But find someone in the church for whom you can pray. Because there's someone right now that's going through a difficult time. Now, I could start naming names, but I'm not going to. But, you know, there are people right now in our church that need your prayers. We need to pray one for another. We need to be a blessing. Which brings us to number 7. And as you see on the worksheet, that's Luke chapter 12. And it's our last one that we'll be looking at tonight. There are many more that we could have. But Luke chapter 12 and verses 23 and 24. Of more value. Of more value. How valuable are you? Now, I understand if you took all what your body is and apparently ground it all out and move the water over here and move the bones over here and different things, we're probably worth $2. Have you ever heard that we're worth about $2? You know, but yet on the other hand, when you begin to ponder that you are first a child, and then an adult, and maybe you've been married, maybe you have children, grandparent. You know, your value kind of grows, doesn't it? You know, you become a value. But how about as a believer? Are you of great value? Well, the Lord thought so much about you that he was willing to purchase you. He was willing to purchase your salvation. He must think you're pretty valuable, right? And that's pretty nice, isn't it? Very valuable. Let's read verses 23 and 24. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. You know, the Lord is trying to tell us that things that we think are so important, really, there are things that are of more importance. Verse 24, consider the ravens. Now, when was the last time you watched ravens flying around and you got all excited about it? Isn't it amazing we get excited about Blue Jays and Cardinals and maybe Robins, the woodpeckers that come to our house to eat at our feeding stations? They're pretty cool to look at. And the hummingbirds, aren't hummingbirds really neat to watch? And they're flying around and taking the nectar, they're exciting. And yet the Lord doesn't say, look at the hummingbirds. He doesn't say, look at the cardinal. He doesn't say, look at the blue jay. He says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. Notice, they're not really doing anything other than what? Eating, flying around, having more ravens. Okay. Which neither have storehouse nor barn. Have you noticed that the squirrels are beginning to hide things in some of the weirdest places? They put things in areas, and you think, well, a squirrel's been here. We can see here that the Lord is saying that they don't do these things. And God feedeth them. God is the one that provides the food for them. Notice, how much more are ye better than the fowl? In other words, if the Lord takes care of the fowls of the air, how about you? Can I say this? Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in him. See, we are of great value. Not necessarily our body, but our soul and spirit. They're eternal. They're going to spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. They are either going to take a place where there is just countless joy or eternal pain. Can I tell you this? I believe in heaven, we're going to do everything together. In hell, everyone is going to be alone with their memory. Oh, I've heard people say, well, we'll just play poker. No, you won't. You're going to be by yourself. You'll have no desire to be around anyone else because you will be in constant pain because of the fact that you have rejected the Son of God. The Bible tells us if we believe on Christ, we'll have eternal life, and if we do not, the wrath of God will abide on us. We are of more value than anything else. All that the world has to offer does not compare to the value of a soul. Yesterday, as I drove a hearse, can you see Pastor Paul driving a hearse? Yes. Went to the funeral home, a cemetery there in Royal Oak. And I had been asked, they said, do you mind saying a prayer? Here's a man who's being laid to rest, and he has no spiritual leader. No one. You know, it's sad, isn't it? The fact of the matter is, we have men and women in our country, the greatest country in the world, with the Word of God so available that know nothing about Jesus Christ. And yet Christ thought we were of such value that he left heaven's glory and was willing to die for you and for me. Let's never forget how precious a soul is and how much value we are spiritually. Shall we stand together? 470 is our invitation song. I have decided to follow Jesus. Maybe this evening you want to decide that you're going to pray for somebody. Could be a family member. Could be a church member. It could be someone that you know is a neighbor, but you're going to pray for them. You're going to pray that the Lord will give you an opportunity to be a blessing to them. Decide, because people are valuable. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, touch hearts, we ask. May the Spirit move. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.